Accession number 1276, Mr. J. Coughlin, reel 8.
Mr. J. Coughlin, reel 8. Were you prepared in any way for moving up to the desert this camp?
We did that, a bit of training. Like, then the order came that we went down to Haifa in Palestine. And we didn't know where we were going down to Haifa. And when we got to Haifa, we put on these destroyers. I think mine was the Kimberley. I think they called it the Kimberley. I'm not so sure. Something like that, the Kimberley. And we pulled pack, like, and it was about midnight. Come on, packed up midnight. We're in this camp a day from Kirk to get the pack, get ready, move on the move. And we went down to the docks and they put us on the, we had to lay on the flat because there was no room down below for us with the quarters on the camp. We laid there. And so we were briefed then. I said, where are we going? We'll go to Cyprus. They think Jerry's going to drop paratroops on the aerodrome. Oh. So we're going to be there for, we're more or less reinforcing, see, because there was a battalion there, I think it was the Sherwood Foresters, I'm not too sure, I think it was the Sherwood Foresters that guarding it, like, but we were there holding so we could back them up, you know what I mean? So we landed in, Farm Augusta, and we rushed from there up a place called Larnaca. And we were on camps there at Larnaca. I think we were there about two or three days. Maybe it might have been about a week. Like, you know, we're just ready to go into on the aerodrome at Nicosia there. We're all ready, you know, because if we did drop, we were straight up, it was only about not far from Nicosia. We were there about 3 or 4 days. We had a good time there, enjoyed it. We were bathing in the sea every morning for a fair. All of us run down on the beach, all not a stitch on about 50 or 60, was all running into the water. I remember 200 or 300 running in the water, not a stitch on, you know, and in the Mediterranean. Oh, we're beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I had about 5 days, 5 or 6 days. We went up into Nicosia aerodrome. And we got in at night time again, and we're told to dig in around the wood. It's like a perimeter. We're told to dig in and stop. We had not to show ourselves through the day. We had to stand to it night, stand to it time. They thought Jerry was going to, you know. Well, we were there quite a while. And then, after about, I think, 3 weeks or a month, they withdrew us from their room, like, because the danger had gone, like. And we were more or less doing just an initial training then again. You know, a bit of schemes and one thing and another.
Were you digging any defences for the aerodrome?
We dig just around the perimeter, the aerodrome. There was bits of wood around the perimeter, you know. We dug in there waiting the jury was to stand to. If it landed, like, we'd have had them, the paratroops. We were all waiting. We wanted them to land because we were at their advantage, like, you know. We were all waiting, all there was stand, all dug in ready for them. If it landed on the aerodrome, I don't know how I went in clink again, so.
And how did that happen?
Oh, well, we had a big naffy just outside the camp, you know. It was a grand naffy and all. And we went up on a tour night and got over Bear Lake, so one night we went up Lake and there's about five of us. Five or six of us. Marty Dunn. There'd be about five, I think you know the names, I can't explain, there was Jackie German, Jimmy Singlewood, Boxer Dunn, I don't know if Jackie was there, there was five of us anyway, we're all drinking, but it was all bottled beer, you know. So, we had getting them in, and they'd getting them in, we used to go in the canteen and just outside on our rough tables, and you know, they're just all rough tables, if you wanted to put it in a mug, you put it in your mug, you'd be able to just up without the bottle, you know what I mean. So, Singlewood went in, like, for these five bottles of beer, and they come back all bleeding. I said, what happened? He said, "That's for 5 bottles of beer, and they give me the wrong change, and he hit me with a bottle because I was going to grab them." I says, "He what?" He says, "He hit me with a bottle." I says, "Let's get in there." So me and Jackie German went in. We shouted at everybody, "Get out! Everybody out!" So we shut the doors, and I put the big bar on them. So I lashed in at them. And a sergeant had me up for manslaughter sentence. He says I was going to murder them. Had them climbing up the walls, all the thing, and I swear. They had a battering on me, the thing to batter the door out to get at us. I got 28 days detention. I got this court-martialed and all that. I was in for the vote 3 weeks or whatever they don't train. I was in clink all the time because there was no... They didn't send us to a detention barracks. They just did it on the battalion, you know, the battalion, or the, you know.
What were you doing? What was your punishment in effect?
Punishment was doing anything, you know, latrines or latrines or anything, you know, anything that was dirty work, all the dirty work, you know. You had your sanitary men, but you have to go and do the dirty work for them, or you go in the cook house and do all the rubbish. The one thing again, where the cook house was and the guard house was, well, see, the prisoners nearly always get the meals first, see, so they get them in and get them out the road, do you understand what I mean? So they used to double us down. Now, when we'd had our meal, they used to say double back. Well, it was nearly about half a mile or a quarter mile. Over the time we got back, we were still an hour and size up, you know. So we asked the doctor, we asked him to go on the sick parade. And the provost sergeant says, "Are you getting out?" I says, "We're out on sick, so if the doctor come." Well, we took us to the doctors, and we explained to him. He says, "I quite agree, it's detrimental to run like that after you've had a heavy meal or whatever it is." "No, you walk back, you run there and walk back." Well, that sergeant didn't like that, that provost sergeant. After that, no, he had it in for us, you know. Sergeant Wiltshire, I think he got killed, well, he got took prisoner in Tobruk. And I think he went down with the boat, the Italian sunk the boat, the prisoner of war boat, they sunk the boat. So they went down with it. Oh, no, our men sunk it. It was our Italian ship, but they were all prisoner of war on board. And all the lads from Bishop and all that went down on it. Oh, aye, Cyprus. I didn't like that either. That stunk. Oh, once went along and the old donkey was dying there. We shot the donkey. The old bloke fetched his wife. Should have shot wife. Donkey work. Wife won't work. Wife to all. Oh, aye, they were all there.
What were they like, the Cypriots? Did you get on well with them?
Very, very primitive they were then. Very, very primitive. Whatever, we didn't, then again, we had to mix with them. Because they weren't to be trusted, you know, they weren't, because there was the Turks and the Cypriots and the one thing and other. So there used to be a lot of fighting. There was a lot of trouble in the here and there, you know.
Not between yourselves and the
women, you know, with the women, the men, and, you know, the soldiers after the women and that, you know what I mean. Used to get on the Liberty Boat and go to any case you like the Liberty Boat. So, well, of course, we're running the village. I tell you what they call the village, Cockatrimathea. I can remember it now. Cockatrimathea, just outside of Nicosia. Aye, it's just a little thing. And it was, then again, there was nothing to do. Nothing to do. I was in clink anyhow. I got 28 day detention for signed eye out the Nuffy. I wasn't allowed in no more, allowed in the Nuffy no more. I'd have killed that man. He thought he was going to die. Because he threw a bottle at me, and I got a bottle and I hit him. Oh, and it started off him. He says, "You nearly kill me." "I'll kill the guy." "Good enough, belt him up." I just know his shirts. We took shipped all off and just know to belt the weight of them. There were 5 of them. 2 of us, only 2 of us.
Who was the other chap?
Jackie German, me and Jackie German. Me and Jackie.
And he would be 28 days as well.
Boy, yes, yeah, so I. There was a little Scotchman there. He was on guard one night. You know, there used to be guard for the us with pick shafts. They didn't have, you know, because where could we go off the island? Oh, we couldn't escape off Cyprus. So there's a pick shaft. So when you want to go to the latrines, like, you have to have escort, like, they used to attack you, you know. And this little, I remember Wilkie, the colonel, says, "Hit me over the top of the head and run for it. You get there's a boat down there." I said, "What?" I said, "No, no." He says, "Hit me on top of the head with a stick." He says, "Run for it, Jim." He says, "Anyhow, I'll be in with you next week." I said, "What do you mean you'll be in with me?" I said, "I'll get in with you, so I like to be in with you." So he starts throwing stones at the provost sergeant. He got his cell in with us. It was in just a while he got in with us. Wilkie, they called him. He had the professor had a little bivouac. So Wilkie got drunk this night, and he had a big, he had his battle dress brought full of stones. He was shouting at the provost sergeant, "Come out and fight, your coward." And every time the sergeant put his throat of stone at them, when they fetched him in, I says, "I tell you, I'd get way in, didn't I?" Oh, I, then, as I say, like, we're there about 3 weeks, and then we moved, know the danger was over, then they knew he wasn't going to drop him. Well, I got a, one day, this provost sergeant come in, he says to me, he says, "We're moving out tomorrow." I says, "What, all of it?" "No," I says, "just you with the prisoners." I think it'll be about 7 or 8 of us. Oh, well, we're going. They were my way of going. Get everything packed ready for tomorrow, you know. So truck come, and they whipped us back to Haifa, on the boat back to Haifa. I says, "What are we going to do here?" He says, "Your reinforcements to put all the bivouacs and the tents up and the big marquees, you know, for the battalion coming back over, because I think they were going up to Cyprus then." So we set off getting them all tents up, you know, and there was a lot more, you know, advance party, putting them all up. So I put this big marquee up and put barbed wire around it. So that's all right. So we're just getting it boat finished. So provost sergeant come up, he says, "Prisoners, fall in here." There were some others, you know, fell in. "Get in there," he says, "that's the guardhouse." I said, "When he put," I said, "we're coming here to put tents up." He says, "You're in there, guardhouse, get in." "Well, this is bonny, isn't it?" "Come to put that, we're getting there for a good few, but it barbed wire this one around, see, because it was all detention, man. There's about 8 or 9 of us then, there's a few more gone then." Right, first tent then, first big marquee, we were prisoner. Put in there, barbed wire around, it was barbed wire around, so we couldn't get out, you know what I mean?
So you worked on that kind of thing all day as a prisoner?
Pardon?
You worked on that kind of thing, doing these jobs all day
all
long?
All day long, right, and then you're locked up and now, you know.
Did you have to parade as well at any time during the day?
Well, the duty officer used to come in and see, you know, every day, or whoever it was, the adjutant used to come down every day and see with the prisoners, you know, and put us on parade and inspect us and one thing and another, after doing the duties and one thing and another, but the part of going, we were getting locked up at night at 6 o'clock, while everybody was out enjoying the cell, we were locked up, but we were just sitting in there reading a book, or some of the lads start shoving beer through, like, through the tent flaps, or, you know, trying to get some of the into us, like, you know. Oh, I was there, though, and then, well, as I say, I was there about a fortnight a day, I think. I don't know, you know, I can't tell you exactly how many days, because it sticks in my memory, but I don't know how many days were there.
What date had you gone to Cyprus? It must have been very quickly after you landed in Egypt.
It was about the June or July.
And coming back, how long were you on Cyprus?
About a month. I would say about a month or 3 weeks. Well, I'd been there about a fortnight, and I'd about a fortnight. 3 weeks, I'd been there a week. I'd had about 3 weeks. I'd done about 3 weeks in the clinic. I'd about a week to do when I got back, you know. Because I remember, well, Wilkie got in with this Scotchman, I tell you. Well, he hadn't been tried, so when we got back, when we were putting the big marquee in, put us in. He was in front of the CO to get his sentence, see, because he'd only been under arrest. So we sewed a tape on him. We found a tape and sewed it onto him. Daftness, you know. So when they come to tackle the prisoner, "I didn't know you were a corporal." He says, "I am a corporal." So they took him. And when the revolver sergeant, the sergeant major, he went, "Dada!" "Who did this?" You know, for a laugh, we did it. I thought we were going to get more time. So he went in front of the CO, and I said, "When he come back, you got 28 days." So he says to me, "What did he say to you, Wilkie, when he told him?" He says, it was Batiscombe, I think it was, they call him, Colonel. He says, "Now, Wilkie," he says, "you've never been out of trouble, have you?" He says, "Ever since you joined the battalion, all this, you know, talking to him." "Yes, sir, yes, sir." He says, "Can you behave yourself for a week?" "I'll try, sir." He said, "Can you do it for a fortnight?" "Yes, sir." He says, "You'll do it for 28 days, because you're getting 28 detention." He says, "I thought I was getting off." When he come back and told me the tale, I couldn't help but laugh. I laughed. I went at about a week after, because we're going up to going to go up to Iraq and Ireland. I was getting a JLX, so the adjutant come round.
Who was the adjutant?
Wilmot. Thirdly, Wilmot. Captain Wilmot, grand fella. Nice fella. Lovely. We're supposed to be out on the Saturday morning, see? Our town was up. You always pray in front of the adjutant when he lets you out, the prisoners, you know, to dismiss you, see if you... He gives you a lecture, you know, what you're doing again and all this time, you know. So, he let us out on the Friday afternoon, about 3 o'clock or something like that. Well, he says, would you come before, sir? And he says, get dressed. You have to be dressed, you know, in full, you know, proper marching order and everything, get dressed and everything. So, it was about 4 o'clock. There was about 10 of us. An adjutant come, you know, and inspected us and saluted the provost sergeant's prison, and he says, and he come and he says, now, he says, I thought we were going to do a route march, really. I'll tell you what I thought, you know, because sometimes you have to do that, you know, call, you know, pull back, route march you for about 5 or 6 miles and fetch you back, just flop it, you know, at night time. So I thought, oh, route march, you know, another one. So I just, I didn't come and inspect us. Then he started, he says, you know, your time's not up till tomorrow dinner time, but I'm being a bit lenient with you. I am letting you out tonight. Oh, I said, then you get a bit of lecture, tell us, will you do it again? And after he finished, like, he always says, any complaints? He says, anybody with any complaint, take a purse forward. So, look long with that. So I took a purse for it. And he says, what's your complaint, Coughlin? I says, well, I says, you could have come this dinner time and let us out, sir, couldn't you? He says, why? I says, well, we could have gotten paid then some money for pay parade. What? I says, well, we could have gotten a bit of some money, couldn't we? I says, well, we were allowed on pay parade, wouldn't we? We would have been, like, because we won't. He says, dismiss the thing, put Coughlin back in the jail, put Coughlin back in the prison. Oh, I says, just because he says that. And he dismissed them all, the provost sergeant. There I was. About 7 o'clock at night, it would be. Sitting there, I said, bloody hell, I shouldn't open my bloody mouth, should I, you know, to myself. Sitting there, so I said, well, that's done it. So, provost sergeant come in the tent like was, and says, get dressed. Oh, where am I going to now? He says, get dressed. So, you always had to get dressed, you know, you weren't allowed to go as you were, and I'd get dressed, smart enough. Be ready in half an hour. So, I goes outside, and provost sergeant's there, and it's tension, stand of attention. And a rifle stand of attention. Who walks round the bloody corner? The adjutant. Oh, dear me, so what's he after? You know, to be sell, I never thought. And it's his sister. He says, stand at ease. Dismiss Sergeant Wilshire. You're all right. He says, I'll attend to this, will you? And so I said, oh, dear me, he's going to give me another lecture. And he says, I've been thinking about what you said, Coughlin. I says, you know, they never catch you with the first name. They always call you the second name. No. I says, I want you to say, in what way, sir? Well, he says, I think you were right. I said, what do you mean? I says, well, he says, if I'd let you out, you could have gotten a paid. He says, how much would you need? Oh, I said, 2 or 3 quid would do me. He says, I will lend you 2 or 3 quid. But he says, I couldn't lend you all it. He says, that's why I dismissed them and left you. I says, they could have knocked me over a feather. So I went in his top pocket and gave me £3. He says, now I want you to pay me it back. Sergeant Wilder, dismiss this man. Release him. Well, I went back and told him, and then he landed back in. Oh, we're slipping the beer and we're slinging the bottles out the tent like the naffy, and it nearly hit the colonel. Ah, I says, I'm in. I didn't sling it, but I was with him, you know. Oh, I said, we're back in Clink again. Oh, I was glad I wasn't, because Sergeant wouldn't have been. Oh, I let me £3, did Sergeant, no. I said, I admire your spirit, he says. Great bloke. But he made me laugh. He said, I couldn't lend you all £3. He said, so that's why I just said that to you. I paid him back. Oh, I didn't pay me down back late once. Like, I just gave him £1 and he accepted it. I thought it was very good of him.
So then you end up to Iraq.
Then we went up in Iraq, yes.
What's your memories of the very long journey?
Oh, that was today's journey. See, we didn't travel in convoy when you cross the desert. We spread out. You don't travel in because, see, you're too narrow a target. You understand what I mean? We spread out, but you have your traffic control officer in front lane, you like, and the colonel, like, you know. So you had to just keep your pace all the time. Well, it was 10 mile and 15 mile an hour, oh dear me. And I was driving a truck at the time, like, you know. Well, there was about 12 on my truck. There wasn't one of them could drive, but when we landed in Iraq, everyone could drive. Because they would just, I say, come on, get up, I'd sit against them and just let them drive along. See, because they couldn't eat nothing. They're all changing up and down. And again, you weren't allowed to go past the control officer, you know, the traffic control officer. He kept it in line, you know. He used to be standing up in his jeep, telling you to, you know, get farther out, or go farther out that way, you know, or keep in line, get your distance. They used to have motorbikes running up and down there, get your distance. Fear there was an attack from there, see. So he wouldn't know which one, if we're safe in convoy, along narrow road. Well, he's got the lot of it, hadn't he, like, you understand what I mean? So I was on a hack truck, and I was driving a hack truck with a Bren on the top, Bren on the back, and a Bren on the front, you know, two Bren guns.
The terrain was pretty flat.
Big man?
The terrain you were travelling over, pretty flat?
All flat, along there, through Transjordan, all flat. Pipelines were along the side, and all the desert. So it was like little guard houses ever so far along, you know what I mean, where they'd been for repairs for, you know, we saw a lot out of Transjordan soldiers, like, you know. But, on a night, dry, that dust flying at you all day, no windscreens, no nothing, you know what I mean? It was a long... We used to have to, every night, I had to maintain my wagon so it was fit for next morning. We had to test the diffs, the oil, check everything. Every night we stopped, so it was in, you know, for moving out the next morning. It took us about, how long did it take? About 7 days, I think it was.
And were you sleeping in tents at night?
Sleeping in tents, them little bivouacs, just sleeping in a little bivouac. Some used to sleep in the wagons. You know what I mean? Or sleep underneath the wagons. Sleep anywhere. We didn't do much, we used to just get out and do a little bit of stop now and then. You had to get off the truck and more or less dig a slip trench, or, you know, fear it was a hair raid, like, you know, and just to do a little bit of exercise, that's all. But we never seen a thing. No, went up through. Oh. Went up into Iraq, Iran, went up into, I think, Baghdad. I went into Baghdad.
What was that like?
Well, we never saw much of it because we weren't allowed out, you know what I mean, among them, because we weren't, I don't think they were civil, you know, they wouldn't have been, didn't take too much of us going into their country, I don't think. Well, they don't now, do they, like, you know. And so, we never got, we just went in, the Nafi come up now, so the Nafi follows you all the way, didn't it, like, you know, the Nafi went and, went in, but in, we stopped for 2 nights, I think, in Baghdad. Then we went on from there to Kirkuk. We stopped a couple of nights there, I think we did. Then we finished up in Mosul. We were supposed to be going, you know, there again. Supposed to be a division if they broke through the Caucasus. They'd just thrown us in, you know, to stem them. That was what we were doing. And we're up in Baskov, up in Iran. We got through the day, but frost on the night. Oh, it was cold. There again, you had to be very careful up there because the wogs were pinching your rifles. And you know what they used to do? They used to come at night and all bullet naked, you know, bullet, they all stripped and put grease all over them. And when you tried to grab them, you couldn't grab them, you know. You had to fasten your rifle belt around your hat, around your wrist, so they couldn't pinch it. You would have caught mice if you lost your rifles. Well, which one or two lost them, they couldn't really hell do them. And we dug below ground, about a foot below ground in our tents on. So, see, when they're running in around tents, you don't shoot with your rifle, a guard, because you're going to shoot his own men, because you might be a guard running that way, and running that way. Well, when they were pinching the rifles, you didn't shoot. You had to catch them. Well, you'll try and catch them when there was a lot of grease on them, to slip out of your hands, you know what I mean? Because you went to shoot your own men. So therefore, we dug 2 foot or a foot below the ground, so if any shoots, went over top of you, say, well, if you lay down to sleep. But in the tents, if you're above the ground, you'll fire and you could hit your own men, see? So you were told not to fire to try and capture them. I don't think we got many. Yeah, they were clever. They were them, you know what the wogs are for rifles, aren't they? They used to love a rifle, didn't they?
And you lost a few, you said?
Oh, we lost one or two, honestly. And up there, we did a lot of sport. Up in Iraq, all sport, all physical training, well, no doubt else, they were waiting, you know. Then, I don't know how long we're up in Mosul about.
What were you doing up there, other than a sport? Were you defending something, or digging defences, or what?
We never touched a thing. I never did a thing, tell you the truth. We were supposed to go up and dig the fences, but I think with the carpet they changed his mind, did Jerry, didn't he? He wasn't going to come through the car. We were there to stem him if they did come through. I think it would be in a division. We were all going to go up, and I think the engineers were up in there digging gun emplacements. Because we weren't artillery, we were infantry. But the engineers for the artillery were digging gun emplacements in there for to stop them if they come through,
You were there through the winter, what was that like?
Pardon?
You were there through the winter.
Cold at the night, very cold at the night. Oh dear me, there's another country I wouldn't like to live in. The bloody donkeys, they used to just, they stunk anyway. Well, they stink themselves, they never have a bath, do they? They never have a bath. They don't know what water's like. It's only, water's holy to them, I think.
What was the food like? What were you feeding on?
Well, fortunately, we were up there at Christmas. And as it happened, I think in Ireland, it was an Englishman, the chief of police, and he shot some boars. And we got a Christmas dinner, a lovely boar, pig. Aye, and we had a mung up there on a thing, and he couldn't scrape them, you had to skin them because the steak's that stiff. And they boiled, it was all boiled. Oh, we ate it. Wild boar and gazelle. Aye. I went out shooting wild boar, I don't know what boar. You want the telescopic rifles, And if you wound them, they reckon you have to. I never shot them, I saw them. A lot of wild boar shooting, and gazelle shooting, like this, go out shooting gazelles.
And the men got involved in this shooting, did they?
Yes. But it was like, I think it was organised through the battalion, but so many men went, but they all had telescopic rifles, sniper rifles. I never had a shot anything, I went on there, had a ride up with them, but I never shot anything.
What was your role there? Just the same one, air defence? Is that your role, your job?
Mine? No, I was in the ACAC then. I was in the ACAC. I was in the ACAC then. Yeah.
So it was air defence against an air attack?
That's defence of for a convoy, and the convoy, defences of the convoy. But for aircraft, aircraft defence for the battalion, really.
Were you living in?
Pardon?
What were you living in?
Living in tents, about 8 men of a tent. Maybe it's more, maybe it's 12 men of a tent. But we dug down below ground and we drained it, for when it rained so the water wouldn't get down into it. We put it like a trench round it, so it'd run away, Because they're fighting, because the wogs are looking for firing their rifles anyway, if they have any. And so it's all back as dig in. Food was horrible up there again. Wasn't good because the rations weren't good. They weren't coming up what they should do. I thought, we weren't getting enough to eat, I'll tell you that now. And the conditions, for cooking weren't very, really hygienic. You know what field kitchens are like. We're in the field, the only intents themselves was the cooks, cooking in the canvas.
How were you able to keep warm?
We all used to sleep, 4 or 5 in a bed. All punk old blankets together. About 4 of us in a bed. There were 4 different blankets, and I was to put them all together. And, 6 in a bed. Two, up and down like that, just to keep warm. Head to toe. That was the only way to keep warm. Because with those 2 blankets or 3 blankets, I wouldn't kept it warm. But ground sheets on the bottom, it's like dampness striking through. But you could put the scene and we all had our overcoats, grey overcoats, or anything we could get over on top of us. We kept warm that way. We slept in our clothes, man. We took our clothes off, or boots off, naturally. But anything else, maybe it's taken jacket off, jacket. We never slept there.
Did you have any fuel for fires at all?
No. No, we couldn't put one in a tent, could you, really? Couldn't really, it'd be smoked out, No gas electric or anything there, there's nothing. The water, it's come with water cart anyhow, no water really at all.
Did the climate affect your health?
It did a bit in Iraq. A lot of the lads catch jaundice because they were eating too much of fried stuff. And they let their medical officer blamed eggs because they were eating 6 and 7 because you could buy eggs cheap, you know, off the wogs, you know, because they all had ends, you know. And were eating, some of them were eating grease, eggs every day. Well, a lot of them went down with jaundice. That was only, well, a lot of them went down with bloody cold and all, like influenza and one thing and another. There was quite a few with that, like. But there again, there was no hospital there that to send them down to Field Hospital, you know what I mean, farther back. There was no there where we were at. There's some field ambulances up there with us, you know. What they do, they follow a battalion on a field ambulance, the field thing, where their tents were with the doctors. And, well, they had camp beds, like, for them laid on, like that, you know. But a lot of them went down with jaundice, I remember a lot going down.
Did you get any mail in Iraq, which was a long way from England? Did you get any mail?
Oh, yes, we got mail. Oh, I had with parcels and all. Oh, I remember a bloke with dates, a box of dates. Made in Iraq. Production of Iraq. It's been back to England and come back again, you know.